Welcome to this UIE Book Corner edition of the Spoolcast. Steve Portigal joins Adam Churchill to discuss his book, Interviewing Users, How to Uncover Compelling Insights. And now, here's Adam.
Everyone, we're continuing the UIE Book Corner series with a look at Interviewing Users, How to Uncover Compelling Insights by Steve Portigal. It's another beautiful book published by the fine folks over at Rosenfeld Media. As I'm thinking about what to discuss with our authors for this podcast, I like to see what others are saying, and an easy way to do that is just to go take a peek at Amazon. And folks there love Steve's book. Just some of the highlights. Steve's guide offers a vivid and rich description of the entire interviewing process. You won't find academic models here, only knowledge from deep experience. Another one says the real power in this book is how the author captures the direct interaction with an interview participant and how to get the responses you need as an interviewer while not coming across as invasive. And the last one that sort of caught my attention was that Steve has written a beautiful and sure to be timeless guide for anyone keen on the art of listening and its practice. So we're thrilled to have Steve Portigal join us from the West Coast to discuss this book and its important concept, and we're recording it so you can listen in to what he has to say. Hi, Steve.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
So the book's been out just over a month, and it's already got a huge fan base. When people are sharing with you what they think about the book, what are they telling you?
Yeah, I'm hearing two things. I mean, one is that people are finding it very actionable. I guess that's a bit of a buzzword, but, you know, I had someone come up to me and say, this is someone who's an experienced researcher, you know, who I admire. And she told me that she got the book in her hand the night before she went out to do a study. And she kind of went through it with some intensity and that it really changed how she was able to go out and do that interview. So she found any number of things that she could go out and use right away. So that's a huge compliment. The other thing that I'm hearing that I'm, you know, personally very gratified by is that people say they find the book very approachable. I think one person wrote on Twitter that reading the book was like sitting and having a beer with Steve Portigal and talking about research. So, you know, that's the feedback I'm getting. And I think it's really a high compliment for me. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, a lot of the comments I've seen seem to be that it's a great read, but also has this ability to be sort of a handbook that you'd keep coming back to. And it seems to me that it's rare that you have somebody saying those two things. They're usually one or the other.
Yeah.
So as you've been having these discussions about people that have read the book, are there any favorite tips or tricks or how-tos that are resonating with folks more than others?
You know, I think at a general high level, the takeaway that people are getting from the book, I think, is a sense of confidence. And that story I told is an example of that, because it's not like people haven't done this. People are at various levels. But I think specifically, you know, people that I've been talking to for years and that people that, you know, have gone through the book, I think one thing that people react to is just the realization that you can do a lot by being silent. I go into this in some amount of detail. And then I think, you know, you're sort of asking what specific things that people are being able to act on that's new. And this is something that I've heard from, you know, workshops over the years and then people that have been going through the book, is that it's, you know, a surprising and powerful realization that in their work as interviewers, they can do a lot just by being silent. The things they do to give someone else space, you know, is something that's within their control and that it has this profound effect on the dynamic of the interview itself.
Just being silent is something. So I'm the rookie moderator in the usability tests here at UIE. And that's something that Jared has repeatedly asked me to do, is just let the silence do its thing and the users will give you what you're after. So I get that. Anything that's surprising the readers?
You know, I think what a lot of is happening in the book is kind of, you know, deconstructing some of the interactions that happen in the field. And I think what I'm believing that's happening for people is that even just the idea of having something explained that you didn't know can be kind of surprising, you know. So whether they're rookies or seasoned people, you know, a lot of these types of interactions that happen in the field in interviews are we do a lot on instinct. It is a very human activity. And so I think there's some surprise that can happen when, you know, something is broken down. And that there's a lot of points in the book in which, you know, the details of a small utterance or, you know, something that you may do in listening or not listening or being silent or what's happening and what that's about and how you can change it. I think the surprise kind of comes with that nod of recognition, like, oh, yeah, that does happen, but I'd never really stopped to reflect on that. That seems like just the general notion that there is technique here, I think, is empowering and surprising to people.
I want to take one of the things that you said there a little further. You talked about how the book's being useful for people that are just starting out or people that have been sort of practitioners of the art for years. And I know that one of the comments that I didn't mention from Amazon talked about how it's a great book. It's the book to have if you're thinking about getting into user research. And that surprised me a little bit because a lot of the comments I've seen on Twitter have been from, you know, people that are experts in the field talking about how valuable the book has been. And I guess my question is, did that surprise you, or did you sort of set out with a goal of, I want to write this book that's going to be valuable to people that sort of to run the scope and experience and roles?
I think, you know, a lot of this comes out of the years I've had in teaching in different kinds of environments, whether it's kind of workshops or conferences or, you know, on site. I even taught undergraduate for a while. And I'm sort of always surprised. And I know that, you know, the approach to education is very, you know, you set learning goals, you understand your audience and kind of where they're at. And either it's me or my own inability to kind of structure that in the proper way or just the messiness of this topic. There's always something surprising that happens for me where I think I'm doing something at a 101 level. And so I'm kind of breaking it down a certain way. And then the questions that come up are very profound. Or I'm talking to people that are very seasoned. And then we get into some conversations about the fundamentals. And so it seems, you know, the way to measure skill level, even though, you know, we can talk about who's a rookie and who's got numbers of years of experience, the ways that people reflect on their own skill sets and, you know, hear new ideas and put them into practice and learn and get better at them, it doesn't seem to me, and this, again, maybe my own naivete, doesn't seem to kind of break up along, you know, if you were teaching math skills or maybe, you know, illustration skills or something. So that's just a long way of saying that I felt like if I could capture what I thought were best practices and kind of best ways of thinking about it philosophically as well as tactically, then, you know, different readers would find different things in it based on where they were at. So I didn't have a strategy here, but, you know, I thought sort of laying it down would be, you know, just the best way to put it out there.
Cool. So when you are having a discussion with your clients or you go in, you're sitting down and discussing their challenges or a problem that they've come to you for help with, is there a chapter in the book that you're either pointing to or that it's got you thinking about more than the others? Is there something that's coming up most?
I mean, I think, you know, what I want to always be doing a better job at in my work with clients is in chapter three. And, you know, notionally, chapter three is about planning. But I think the chunk in there that comes up so often is about framing the problem. And I think it's not called out as that's what the chapter is about. I think there's a hand-holding thing here. Here's what you have to do for the reader before you go out in the field. Frame the problem, find your participants. It's very sort of practical. But the idea of problem framing is huge. I mean, this speaks to what's the role of research in the organization? Are we innovating? Are we fast following? Are we open to new things? Are we testing? Are we discovering? And so that is, you know, messy. That is really rich. And, you know, for me at this point, a lot of what clients come to me and my practice for is in problem spaces that they can't necessarily articulate. You know, I had this conversation yesterday where we kind of talked about internal initiatives, past research they'd done. They didn't have an RFP for me with bullet points, which is wonderful. They didn't. They didn't have sort of our learning objectives are this, our business questions are that. It was just sort of throwing a lot of stuff out there. So that's kind of right in chapter three territory. Like, how are we even going to consider what the problem is for the business and what the questions are? What kinds of people, what types of issues are we going to explore with them in order to get to that business question? So, you know, for me, that's not a given. I don't know exactly how to do that, but that's the fun kind of messy, gunky part to kind of get into. So again, that's kind of chapter three and sort of where I think the conversations with me and my clients are anchored in the most.
So I suspect that something that you had to tackle a long time ago is helping people understand the why of, you know, the fact that an interview is more than just asking a question and why that's important. How is your book going to help people in that respect?
Right. I think that's even one of the frequently asked questions, like, why is this even a book? Why are we talking about talking to people? And you're right. That's been part of my journey, is to just sort of stand up for this as a specialty and advocate this as a skill set. And I think the book, you know, makes that tangible for people who read it, both for their own realization that this is more than just asking questions, and also for their own advocacy to others that don't sort of give them the power to do more. So I think it helps that. I think that comes through in some of the details. In chapter six, so there's a whole raft of types of questions. And you start reading that through and seeing, like, geez, there's a lot of different ways to even ask a question. And, you know, the notion that this is a palette we want to always have to draw from, both in the planning and kind of in the moment. So just sort of taking a behavior which is very naturalistic and then deconstructing the way that we have to use it in this different context, I think starts to shift it. Chapter five describes the stages that an interview flows through. And so just, you know, surfacing those structures, I think, helps tell people that, yeah, this is a thing. This is interviewing. This is not just question asking.
There are lots of aspects to a user research study, and you've done this wonderful job of crafting this almost 200-page book that's dedicated solely to the interview. And I found it interesting that there's sort of one exception to that, and that's the last chapter, where it seems like you wanted to build a bridge, so to speak, between what people will get out of an effective interview and next steps with that information. Am I right? And why is that important to folks who are going to read this book?
No, you're absolutely right. And part of the questions that, you know, working with my editors, we had to address is, what's sort of the end point and the out point for this book? What does it cover? You know, I really want to do some scope management and make it primarily a book about, as you say, you know, doing the interviews itself. And there's so many other kinds of methods, and we touch on them, but I don't really dwell on it. And there's, you know, many other stages in a design process or an innovation process. I really wanted to, you know, highlight something that really hadn't been given the ink that it deserves. But then sort of, what's the ending? Where do you kind of leave it? And so you're right. I think the bridge is really kind of important. And I think in my own career, I've just been saddened to hear stories about, you know, research being done that's, you know, a gathering of data, or maybe slightly better, you know, a statement of findings. It can be a waste. It's just kind of this disappointing, and it doesn't go any further and doesn't get acted on. And that's, for me, why I'm in this field, why I do this work. It's really about trying to drive towards that change. So I think that was the challenge in that last chapter is, and I think I even say this, like, these topics merit their own book, but I'm going to at least speak to them. So there's some bridge kind of built there. So just the idea of, what do you do with the data? How do you find these insights? And then how do you engage the rest of the organization and the stakeholders so that these new ideas, these new opportunities that build from these insights can take root and kind of go through the organization? So those are topics that I've, you know, expanded on elsewhere. You know, there's some virtual seminars that we've done together that have really spent a lot of time unpacking them. And so really, I wanted to just nod to them briefly as that bridge so that, you know, you're not left cold at the end. Now what do I do? So that was kind of, I think, the compromise that I was looking to strike in that last chapter.
What do you think people are going to do differently after reading this book?
You know, I think the book sets people up. This sounds maybe a little trite, but let me try to unpack a little bit. It sets people up to really hear the people they talk to, their users, their customers, their target, to really hear where they're at and to understand what's important to them, you know, as opposed to sort of hearing what we want to hear. And so this is where I said earlier, there's some philosophy and there's some tactics. And the tactics come from the philosophy. I think this is what I've seen lacking in practitioners, you know, that I meet with over the years, is that it's sort of easy to ask questions or even ask questions well and kind of hear what people are telling you. But the broader approach, which is just to understand people's world as it's organized and kind of structured and labeled from their point of view. It never matches either sort of the frameworks that we have going in or the architectures of tools that we're providing. So to take that kind of in a deeply, completely user-centered approach and understand what the users, you know, building up their world out of, how they think about it and feel about it and talk about it. I mean, that's what starts to be where you get towards excellent types of user research. So, you know, that's not what everyone's always going to do. That's not always what the objective is. But I think I'm hoping that this will start to open up people to be able to do that, to have that kind of be baked into their approach to users, is not just collecting responses to questions, but really, you know, grokking where they are coming from and kind of how they're operating.
Awesome, Steve. Congratulations on the book, and thanks for spending some time talking about it.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate your great questions and the time with you.
Again, the book is called Interviewing Users, How to Uncover Compelling Insights, and it's by Steve Portigal. You can find it at all great places like rosenfeldmedia.com or amazon.com, all kinds of places where you would find other fine books. Thanks, everyone, for joining us in this UIE Book Corner podcast. Shoot us an email and let us know what authors we should be speaking with. You can reach us at feedback@uie.com. Goodbye for now.
For more great UX resources, visit uie.com. As always, thank you for listening.